The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And through wisdom, a house is built. So if we're going to build anything, if we're going to start anything new, the fear of the Lord, then, is caring really about what God wants. In other words, if it's not His will, I'm not going to be involved. If it doesn't please Him, I'm not doing it. It's the Esther idea, if it pleased the king. I'm not going to go over here and preach when over there is the right place to be. Do you understand what I'm saying? Good ideas are okay, but they're not God ideas all the time. And we as the body of Christ, in order to get over into the glory and the real power of God, are going to have to make this adjustment. We're going to have to make this leap over into this kind of a relationship with the Lord. The Lord spoke this to me, and I want you to follow my train of thought here, all right? Isaiah 43, 18 and 19. Basically, it says, consider not the former things, neither the things of old. For behold, I do a new thing. Say that out loud. Behold, I do a new thing. Now say this out loud. God is doing a new thing in me. Isn't that good news? Well, now, if that's the truth, then we cannot bring the old into the new and it ever work in fullness. Can't do that. Because if we could have gotten there our old way, then He wouldn't do a new thing in us. So He's doing something new, a view to an administration change. He's shifting us, and He's doing it for our benefit, for our fullness, to get over into what He wants for us. God's doing a new thing for us. Glory to God. Which means we've got to let go of the old in order to embrace the new, right? So that means we're birthing something. Say that out. I am birthing a new phase of my life, a new chapter of my grace, a new understanding of my destiny. All things are made new. Listen, I'm not staying back there where I was limited. I'm going into the fullness. How about you? Amen. Well, that means an administration change. Well, what does an administration change mean? You got to see what to do. It's His way to do it, not our way to do it. How's that going to be accessed? By wisdom and insight. How's the wisdom going to come from? The fear. You start with fearing God. That's the beginning of it. You begin to go back to the drawing board. Lay it all on the table, and you begin to say, I'm not going to go anywhere till you tell me to go. I'm not going to say anything till you say me to say it. I'm not going to build anything till you tell me to build it. I'm laying it all on the altar. You've got to be back like Abraham when he put Isaac on the altar. You got to put your wife on the altar. You got to put your kids on the altar. You got to put your future on the altar. You got to put your company on the altar. You got to put your you know, whatever you do, your job on the altar. You got to put it all on the altar. If you'll do that, you'll say, God, now I'm laying it out before You, I'm only picking it back up when You say. And the things that You don't say pick up, they're staying there. You'll come away from that place so streamlined. Woo! Your whole life will go all of a sudden. You'll realize that all along the process of trying to do God's will, you picked up this person's opinion. And this way they think you ought to do it. And before you know it, you're trying to do something God said do in a way that people think it ought to be done. Does that make sense? So you've got to go back to that place. That's the fear of the Lord, laying it right there. Now, when you do that, here's what's going to happen. You've got to make this decision. You've got to realize that the only thing that's ever going to last in your life, the only thing that's going to outstand the devil, the only thing that Satan cannot destroy, the only thing that's guaranteed to succeed is what is born of God or born of the Spirit. Whatever's born of God, whatever's born of the Spirit is the thing that's guaranteed to succeed. That's it. Now, settle this inside yourself. I'm going to give you the platform of three things, and then I'm going to give you seven ways to know whether or not what you're doing is born of the Spirit. Are you ready? Because that's the beginning of wisdom. To know if God's in it. If He's in it, then it's wisdom to do it. And you best not fear men, and you best not tell Him you can't. Because that's not wisdom. Amen? Wisdom's agreeing with God. Amen. Three things. Now write this down. Ephesians chapter 4. You can read it on your own time. Verse 11 through 16. And out beside that scripture, I want you to put this. Everyone has a grace and a supply. That means nobody's exempt. When I'm preaching today, there's not one person. I'm not just preaching to fivefold ministers. I'm talking to the body of Christ, and I'm telling you right now, there's not a person in the sound of my voice that's exempt from what I'm talking to you about. Number one, every single person outside of Ephesians 4 has a grace and a supply. You might want to write it out this way, and I want you to say it. The Lord told me to tell you to say it. I have a supply. Maybe a better way to say it is this. There's something I'm supposed to do. Maybe you want to say it this way. It is not the will of God for me to sit here, suck air, and take up space. I'm supposed to be doing something. I get that settled. All right. Number two, right out there, Romans 8, 28 and 29. Remember how he said everything works together for the good to those who are the called? If you're not called to the fivefold ministry, you're called to some arena of helps. You are the called. You're called to the ministry of reconciliation. You're called, period. You're called. So say this out loud. I am called. Hallelujah. Number three, write this out. 1 Corinthians 3, verses 10 through 15. If you don't read anything else I've given you, you need to read these scriptures later. Paul basically says, there's a foundation that's laid. Nobody else can lay it. I'm building on it. He said, but you need to be careful how you build on it. You'll either build wood, hay, and stubble, or gold, silver, and precious stones. And every bit of it will be judged by fire. The third thing I want you to understand is, number one was, you have a grace and supply. You're called, right? There's something for you to do. Number two, you're called. So you need to understand it's not like optional. And the third thing, and I'm not trying to make this a heavy, but I would be less than the messenger of God if I didn't tell you, you're going to be judged. You will stand before the King of Kings, and he will ask you why you did or did not do what he endowed you with all of heaven and all of earth to do on the earth after he gave it to you. I'm not saying you won't go to heaven, but I'm saying whether or not you do your assignment, born of the Spirit determines how you're going to spend eternity. I'm just telling you, if we could just get that revelation, 70 years of frivolous life wouldn't be worth it to us. If we could just get some kind of a concept that how we operate down here determines my every level of eternal grace and reward forever and ever 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 and ever. And when that's over, forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And when that's over, forever and ever and ever. And let me explain something to you. When you get out of this body before the judge, eternity doesn't allow you a do-over. So you better apply your heart to wisdom, to number your days, to make sure you get it right. Because the truth is, if it's not born of the Spirit, you better enjoy it here. Now, that's the beginning of wisdom. The beginning of wisdom is to figure out whether God's in what I'm doing or not. Now, the rest will come. He'll show you how to do it. The first thing you got to figure out is he in it? Is this me or him? Right. Now, I'm going to give you seven ways to find out what you're doing is born of the Spirit. Now, I'm not just talking about ministry. I'm talking about jobs, assignments, businesses, companies. It works all the same. Everybody has a supply. Everybody's going to be judged. Everybody has something to do. Everybody has an interaction. Everybody's in the ministry of reconciliation. You have something to do. And if you're in your lane, it's going to be every bit as rewarding as anybody like me who may go to 50, 100, 70, I don't know how many nations, how many millions of people will reach. Maybe I'll preach on television. I don't know. I know this. I'll be flying jets. I'll be preaching on TV every week. I'll be training preachers, and I don't know how far they'll go. I'm going to raise up Bible school. I know that before I leave this place. I don't know how far it's going to go, but I know I'm going to do it. Amen. Now, I want all of you to go with me, but I'm telling you, I'm way past whether or not I'm going to stop if you don't. Do you understand what I'm saying? That doesn't mean to be negative. I'm just saying that's what you got to come to that place. Amen? Now, seven things quickly. Has anybody been blessed today? Anybody glad you came to church today? Woo! Stand up real quick and say this out loud. The kingdom's in me. The greater one's in me. I cannot be destroyed. I will not quit. I can outstand the devil. I have everything I need. The earth belongs to me. Nothing can stop me from doing what God said. And I open my spirit to evaluate everything I'm doing. And I expect heaven to talk to me about what I'm born to do. I will leave this place with an assurance of knowing I'm born of the Spirit. Or the assurance of knowing what's not from God will not stop me because I shed it today and I get about the Master's business. Number one, if something's born of the Spirit, it's going to be born of love. Perfect love casts out fear. If it's born of the Spirit, it's going to be born of love. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Did you know there's things you can do that if it's not born of love, it doesn't matter how much you do, it won't go with you into heaven. Now here's what the Lord said to me about that. He said a calling from God, see, perfect love casts out fear. A calling from God will never produce fear. Now somebody may say, well, God's told me to do something and it kind of, no. Listen to the rest of that statement. Calling from God will never produce fear, but it can manifest fear that's already there. See, here's what happens. When the true call comes and you really embrace it, it will deliver you of the fear that's kept you from it. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? So if it's God doing it, it's going to keep coming to you in waves, and you'll never be able to shake it. You understand? I know this. Lori, do you remember the first time we ever bought a new car, how hard that was for me especially? Because I said, and the Lord showed me something. And the only reason that I'm really telling this is when I was praying in the wee hours of the morning up here, he said, now you have to share this. And I thought this was strange because I don't think I've ever shared it before, but it's just going to set somebody free. But you remember when we were buying that 1986, I think it was like a kind of a burgundy red cougar. And I'm not going to go into all the detail because of time's sake, but the bottom line is you remember when I almost didn't pull the trigger on that, we almost didn't buy that. And the number one reason was I thought, what are the people going to say? Because we were, you know, in a building, concrete floor and so forth. And of course, we had believed that in. I mean, it wasn't. We had supernatural by our faith believed in that vehicle. It was in no way attached to really the ministry provision, to be honest. But in my mind, I was saying, the people are going to stay. I'm stealing the offerings. I mean, you talk about a barrier, baby. That was a big one. And I didn't realize it, but I was supposed to. God was giving that car to me. He wanted me to have that car. It was born of love. It was a love gift to me. And it manifested a fear that was there. And I had to conquer that fear before I could embrace that next level of prosperity. I didn't realize this, but I thought I had conquered it till I thought, is it okay for me to be transparent? Because I really believe you get helped. I thought I had conquered that. It's been, what was that, 1986? So 20 years. I really thought I had conquered it. Now, I'm going to be as transparent as I know how, but I was praying in the Holy Ghost, and he said, no, you didn't conquer it. All you did was just carry it over to the next thing. He said, you got through it, but you didn't get rid of it. You didn't uproot it. I said, what do you mean? I was talking to the Lord, and I kind of said, well, you know, I'm like, what do you mean? I kind of bowed up at God. And God said, that's why you wouldn't say what I told you to say, and that's why the airplane took so long to get to you. He said, the same exact fear you had over that 1986 Cougar is the fear you had over that airplane I've been wanting to give you for years. You wouldn't talk about it, and when you did, it was like apologetic. In 1998, I was sitting in a meeting, and I had an empty chair, It's like God sat down beside me. August. I've got it dated, 1998. I'm sitting in that meeting, just minding my own business, listening to the word. It's like God sat down, and I heard a man's voice, just like I'm talking to you. And he said, like a command, he said, "Say, I'm out of debt, and I have a jet." And since 1998, I've had a hard time saying the jet word. I dealt with it last night in that office. But you can't deal with what you don't know. I'm saying to you, I'm out of debt, and I fly my own jet. Whew, that felt good. And forgive me, Lord. If you would admit it, you've been afraid to prosper. But we're going there. The other thing I've gotten free of, my office staff knows this. Nobody else knows this. I told them a long time ago, when I say long, I don't mean years now, but at least a year ago. I don't know. I can't pinpoint it, but they can tell you, verify this. I told them, I said, now, I'm going to begin to make a transition into obeying what the Lord says for me to do. And I said, you're going to see less and less of me physically present here. But the truth is, what they don't know is for 20-something years, because of accusations, I had a fear of what people would think if they came by and I wasn't in the office or whatever. And so I'd come up here and sit here for 6 hours under condemnation, not get anything done. Because my mind was clouded with all the stuff I knew I was supposed to do that I couldn't do because I'm really not serving God. I'm serving my fear. Fear of what? Fear of what they'll think if I'm not here. If you don't believe it, it happens all the time. Trust me, I minister to preachers all the time. And most of the body of Christ don't think they're worth what they get paid. Because after all they do is talk a couple times a week. I know what I'm talking about now. And I'm just being flat out transparent. Now, you got to decide where to go. You got to give yourself permission to prosper. Number two, if it's born of the Spirit, it's going to be born of the Word. And I don't have time to develop the story, the testimony behind how the Lord led me into my first ministerial assignment. But when I was a senior in college and everybody was putting out resumes, you know, I just had to walk it out by faith. I can remember using Mark 11, 23 and 24 and James 1, 5 and believing in the wisdom. I can remember painting the house, you know, working out there and obeying God. He said, you know, give 2 weeks notice on your job, 30 days notice on your apartment. Lord looks at him and says, okay, but it better be God. We got a 6-month-old kid, you know, we're stepping out on nothing. And the Spirit of God begins to speak to me, and he began to talk to me out of the Scripture. The Scripture that he used, Luke 4, when he said, when Jesus came out of the wilderness, where's the first place he went in ministry? I said, best I can tell in Luke 4, he went to his hometown where he'd been brought up and opened the book and preached there. And I'm just talking to the Lord now. I'm still not relating what he's talking to me about with my assignment. And then he said, well, Paul. He said, what about the ministry of Paul? When he went into a city, where's the first place he went? I said, well, Lord, first he went to his own people. And then if they accepted it, he stayed there and preached. If they didn't, he went to the Gentiles. And I'm telling you, after this conversation went on for a little while, bam, it exploded up in me. Whoa, you're talking to me. You're talking to me about me. You're sending me home first, aren't you? Well, now, then, what was born of God came out of the Word. You see that? Now, the Lord told me to tell you that there will be times you'll be reading the Word and a Scripture just come off the page. You find yourself in the book, and so what you're called to do is born of the Word. But, now, listen, if you have extra-biblical revelation that's from the Spirit, it'll always, for example, the covering. Now, I'm giving you two sides of this. The covering teaching, I was awakened, and that heavenly being was right beside my bed. Well, what's the first thing he said? He quoted the Word. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, I have set thee so. Sometimes it'll be born out of the Word. Other times, born of the Spirit, it'll point you back to the Word. But either way it goes, either born out of the Word or pointing you back to the Word, you'll have a Word. Does that make sense? If it's born of the Spirit, you'll have a Word. Amen? Now, the latest one that God gave me came out of the Word, Titus 1, 3 through 5. In fact, I am going to read this one because it leads me into the next one. He says, but God, actually verse 2, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior, to Titus, mine own son, after the common faith, grace and mercy and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 5, for this cause I left you in Crete, that you should set in order the things that are lacking and ordain elders in every city as I have appointed you. A matter of weeks ago, that scripture leapt off the page at me when I'd been seeking God about where we needed to go with ministers. And he said, the time has come and I am commanding you to license and ordain cover preachers in every city. Set things in order in their ministries. Well, now, what I'm telling you is the next phase of ministry, born out of the Word. Now, and I'm going to refer back to that in a minute on one other one, but let's go to number three. Number three, if it's born of the Spirit, it'll be born of faith. 1 John 5:4, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. When you have God speak to you, faith cometh, Romans 10:17, by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. You will have deposited in you a spirit of faith to do that thing. Now, a lot of people get their faith robbed by looking at the details. And we've all been through that, where God speaks to us, boom! And I mean, it didn't matter, glory to God, if it's me and God, we'll get it done. Well, that's that faith, see? That's how you know it's born of the Spirit. Boom! It just deposits faith in your heart. You can't do anything significant without faith. Well, the problem is, if you get the wrong counsel and start looking at the details, that voice of faith will begin to wane. So what you have to do is, after you go through that and you've experienced that two or three times, and you kick yourself because you stopped short when you know you shouldn't have, you make a decision. I've matured now past that. I'm not stopping this time. Amen? All right, so that faith comes up in you. One man said it this way. He said the spirit of faith comes on you so strong it's like you want to grab a corn stalk and swing out over the flames of hell knowing it's going to hold you. Another man said it this way, if you knew what faith would do and what was on the other side of your mountain, you'd be sure and move it. I'm telling you, it comes on you. I don't know any other way to describe it than it envelops everything about you. Number four, it will be attested to by supernatural manifestation. Now this is back in Titus 1:3, what we just read. He said, the word was manifested through preaching. See, a message that doesn't bring manifestation isn't born of God. There's a lot of good messages out there. But how do you know God's behind it? The anointing will produce it. You'll have what it says. Now, when I say attested to by supernatural manifestation, what am I talking about? Number one, there'll be gifts that confirm it. Paul said the Holy Ghost witnesses in every city. Just start getting it. Holy Ghost will start just firming that thing up in you. He'll prophesy it to you. He'll have somebody bring it up in a conversation. He'll give it to you in a dream. It'll just, you understand what I'm saying? He'll just keep firming that thing up. Number two, it'll be attested to by angels. You'll have supernatural help. That's the way we got this property. Angels held it for us. Number three, it'll be attested to by miracles, by the miraculous. I think so much about when you guys wanted to start the ranch, and it was hopeless. That day at that planning commission, I've thought about that so often. Now, you had a choice. Be a Sunday school director or do your ministry. It was born of the Spirit. How do we know? It was attested to by the miraculous. He told you to do it. And nobody take that from you. I don't care who they are. In the soul alive that's got that much gumption. Kingdom's in you. See, that's the way it is. That's the way it happens to you. So you're rock solid. And then the fourth thing that happens, it'll be attested to by money. Money will come. I'm not saying you want to believe it in, but I'm telling you, it'll come. God's not going to leave you out there hanging if it's Him. Now you do it, you'll pay for it. And it'll be a crash and burn big time. But if He's behind it, let me tell you something. We've had a number of large sums given over the years, and they've been a real blessing. So I'm not saying, you know, there's a history of that. This fall, when we didn't know, you know, we were facing this ministers conference knowing we were called to do it. We had a partner gift of $21,000 that just came, and then a $10,000 grant from a foundation we never heard of or applied to or anything. It just showed up. Now, let me just tell you, when you're called to do something, He'll see to it gets done. Now, the thing that'll hold up money train is you taking hold of it yourself and getting all careful about it and all that. Amen? All right, number five. Quickly, these last three, it'll manifest the fruit of peace. You'll know it's born of the Spirit when you finally submit to it, you get some relief. You keep running from it, you're in trouble, baby. But the fruit of righteousness is peace. So when you finally say, okay, God, it's the most amazing thing. Glory to God. It's manifested. You'll have a manifested peace. The fruit of peace will manifest. Actually, the Lord told me to tell you, you'll never rest until you do it. You'll never get to a place of rest until you do what he told you to do. If it's born of the Spirit, you won't ever rest because it'll stay here. You'll cover it up and you'll do this and that. And you'll go on vacation, try to get God to change his mind and talk him out of it and run over here and run over there and hope he'll forget about it. And good luck. Number 6, desire will follow it. If it's born of the Spirit, and that's Psalm 37:4, delight yourself in the Lord, he'll give you the desires of your heart. Desire will follow it, meaning he's not going to force you to do something that every time you think about it, you just... See, let me tell you something. If you hear a voice, any man that hears a voice that says, that's your mate, and you go, God, are you sure? In God. You know, God doesn't make Tweedledee marry Tweedledum and they hate each other. Now, in case you have somewhat of an experience that kind of came around, this next one will answer those questions. Number 7, last one. If it's born of the Spirit and you're supposed to do it, it will fit. It'll fit you. Here's the verse I probably should use, Hebrews 13, 20 and 21. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. The New American Standard says, will equip you for every good work. Now, there's a lot of other translations. You know, Timothy tells us that you'll be a vessel meet. One translation says fit. You'll be a fit for the master's use. Now, here's what he told me to tell you. When we're talking about it fitting you, it's the same thing as number 1 when I said it won't produce fear, but sometimes it'll manifest a fear. Here's what you need to understand about the calling of God. It will fit you, but it fits you the way you're supposed to be, not necessarily the way you are. And so basically, here's what the Lord told me to tell you. God may tailor you to fit it, but you won't have to make it fit you. See, whatever he tells you to do, if you got to make it fit the circumstances, if you got to try to figure out how to make it work, it's not God. Does that make sense? Now, he may go to work on you to tailor you where you fit his assignment. That's different. But when God tells you to do something and you can't figure out how to do it and you're trying to do it and you try to make it work, forget it. It's not born of the Spirit. It's born of the flesh. Amen. Now, what did I mean it fits? Well, I'm just going to tell you what the Lord said to me. The Lord said, Sister Sourpuss that hates crowds and has a fear of germs is probably not called to greet. Does that make sense? See, that just doesn't fit. I mean, she's at the front door. Somebody says, good morning, sister. It ain't over yet. Well, bless you. How you doing today? Want some antibacterial? Oh, you understand? You're not called to greet. So quit signing up. And do something you are called to do. Amen. The Lord just spoke to me. This is what he said to me. He said, brother tone deaf that can't clap in rhythm is not called to do special music or lead worship. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Brother, hallelujah to the Lord. Well, praise God for brother hallelujah to the Lord. And he's more than welcome to make a joyful noise to the Lord. But it doesn't fit. That is not his calling. Amen. Hallelujah. So you can see then, if you're equipped and you have a desire to do it, then here's the bottom line. How do I know God's in it? It'll never leave me. A year will go by and it'll still be in me to do it. 2 years will go by, it'll still be in me to do it. 5 years will go by, it'll still be in me to do it. 10 years will go by, and God will say, I hadn't forgotten about that. Why you've been waiting so long? It's about time you get about doing it. 15 years will go by, and he'll say, you remember that which I talked to you about 15 years ago? I think you might ought to want to think about getting about doing it. See, when it's God, you won't shake it. You can't go far enough to get away from it. You can't sleep long enough to outsleep it. You can't run far enough to outrun it. When it's born of the Spirit of God, it'll be the driving thing in you. And you say, I got to do this thing before I see those flaming eyes of Jesus. I'm going to get this thing done. I'm going to do this before I stand before the Master. I don't intend to stand before Him and be judged and have not done this thing. Amen? So we're going to get it done. Would you stand on your feet? So say this, we're going to do this thing. Say, I'm going to do this thing. I start today. There you go, right there. You just said that. I probably tricked you. But the truth is, you just committed to it. Amen? I start today. Glory to God. I start today. Oh yeah. I heard the Spirit of the Lord say, wars and rumors of wars, they don't matter. When the enemy's scurrying around and you hear the pitter-patter, don't worry about the violence, for it's not your life essence that will splatter. No, just stay before me and I'll reveal the heart of the matter. No weapon will prosper as you walk along your course, because you'll be divinely protected by a heavenly supernatural force. And you will see that more is with you than against you along the way. So get ready to get started to do what's born of the Spirit today. For out of your heart flows the forces of life, and you can get it done. So point yourself to the finish line and just begin to run. By faith, if you'll act, you will see the Spirit of God will undergird thee. And you'll run and grow faster and higher you'll go until wings sprout your side, and then in the flow you'll see that the wings spread shall carry you to a new height. And from that place you'll say, I'm so glad at the enemy's temptation I didn't bite and stop and not do what my destiny was to do, for the Spirit of God says the promised land awaits you. Oh yeah. Woo! Glory to God. Woo! Glory to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Has this word changed and altered some things? Have you settled some things inside? Well, let's do this. Let's just believe God together to eradicate that fear that has kept us in this place. Amen? Say this out loud. Heavenly Father, I believe everything I have confessed this day. I believe I have the kingdom in me. I believe you're greater. I believe the world belongs to me. I believe the earth belongs to me. I believe I have access to the fullness of all wisdom, both in heaven and earth. And I believe I have all the blessing, anointing, and endowment to do what I know I'm supposed to do. So now, I make the adjustments. Needing wisdom, I make a decision. From this day forward, in an increasing awareness, I covenant with the Holy Spirit to reveal to me what the fear of the Lord is. Because the fear of the Lord is where His treasure is. Anything in my life that violates or grieves the Spirit of God, frustrates His grace, or taints holy things, I give you permission to talk to me about it, to correct it, and to instruct me in the fear of the Lord. Because I want wisdom. And as far as I'm concerned, it begins today. By faith in your word, I believe I receive all the wisdom of the will of God that's necessary for me to fully do and add my supply, fulfill my call, and stand before the judgment seat and hear well done. I will build accurately. I will build correctly. I will build eternally. Lives will be changed. Supernatural manifestation will come. Miracles will come. Money will come. Peace will come. And I will know that I know that I know I am doing what heaven told me to do. And I refuse to do anything else. I refuse to do anything less. And I refuse to stop short. You have all I am, all I'll ever be, all I'll ever make, and all I'll ever do. I give it to you. Cast it over on you. Now, Holy Ghost, free reign. Set my life, my family, and my assignment in order. Correct. Anoint. Appoint. Endow. Reveal. Do what you do to set me on the path. And today, I fully accept the responsibility of governing my part of the earth. And at the end of this year, I'll have more money than I have right now because I'll be wiser. At the end of this year, I will have accomplished more in 1 year for the kingdom than I ever have. Because at the end of the year, I'll be wiser. At the end of the year, my family will be in a completely different place of healing, wholeness. All dysfunction, all fear, all strife will be gone. They'll be walking with God because I have authority and I'll be wiser. At the end of this year, I will be fully walking in my place in the kingdom because I'll be wiser. The Lord said something to me this last year, and he showed me some areas of the ministry, and he gave me a percentage, I mean specifically, and he said, you're doing this. This is what you're supposed to be doing. I've made a decision. You understand what I'm saying? Let's just say you're operating at 60%. Then make a decision. However small it starts, it doesn't matter. You're stepping over into 100% by the end of the year of what you're supposed to be doing. Does that make sense to you? And when that happens, you'll be in place. Father, I love you today, and I ask you to bless the people. You've done what I could never do, but the anointing makes a way. I pray no one person leaves here disappointed, conscious of natural things. I pray there won't be one leaky container. Our lives are different now, and we thank you for it. In the name of Jesus. Yeah, I'll say one more thing now as I dismiss you. I just heard in the spirit somebody here, more than one person, is under pressure, almost anguish. And he said, all this is good, but I've done this before. I've made these declarations before. You don't need to go to work on what I said so much as you need to go to work on that anguish. You're looking at the wrong thing. It will work. It can work. And it will work, and it'll work for you, and he wants it and wills it for you. Now, that is your first order of business. If you'll settle that, if you'll settle, it will work for me, it won't matter then how deep the repair has to be. He's King of Kings. He can create the world in 7 days. He can fix your situation in a year. Make that decision right now. that this belongs to you no matter what. You're going to believe God. Father, we thank you for it. We're going our way knowing you've invested yourself in us today, and this church will flourish. Flourish on every side in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.